Broadcasting live from the Biz 1190 studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for the Business Radio X Week in Review. We know you're busy, so we've got you covered. Catch up on the week's top Atlanta business headlines and meet the industry execs and thought leaders who move Atlanta's bottom line. Now, here's your host, Dana Barrett.
Good afternoon. It is Sunday, January 26th, and I don't have internet. So that's it. I don't know. I have nothing to say. We're going to have to sit here for an hour and be quiet because without technology, we cannot survive.
That's the sound of the internet dying.
Yes. No, lucky for everyone, you all listening, of course. Lucky for you, I waste a lot of paper when I come to the studio and I have everything printed out, so I'm good to go. But this is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I am Dana Barrett and Mike Roy pushing the buttons, making the sound effects.
And making that announcement about the internet is more important than telling people who you are.
Of course.
And what you're listening to.
Well, I have to let people in on what's happening internally, how I'm feeling.
Is this going to make its way onto the soapbox?
You know, it just might. I don't know about this week. We'll see. I might have to save this one up a little. I have so much to talk about today. The number here in the studio, 404-231-1190. Now, I just used my iPhone to tweet out what we're going to talk about today, which is pot. So maybe we should change the name of the show from Week in Review to Weed in Review. No? I have a lot of great clips from Business Radio X, of course, that are not pot related, but and I also have a lot of headlines to talk about. There's been so much in the news this week that is sort of not business related, and yet I so want to talk about it. Justin Bieber, for one. I mean, let's face it, even though Justin Bieber getting arrested for DUI and drag racing and whatever else he was doing is not particularly business related, he is sort of he makes a lot of money and he has a brand. And, you know, a lot of these kids, Miley Cyrus and Justin Bieber and all, are sort of going through this perhaps intentional, perhaps unintentional rebranding from, you know, childhood, you know, kind of cute kid, sweet, whatever, into like adult cuckoo nuts. So
to me, Miley Cyrus is probably trying to ditch the Disney image.
Yes, yes. And Justin Bieber.
Well, Justin Bieber is just acting out.
Well, that's true. And he didn't really have the Disney image, but, you know, he did sort of have the sweet kid pop star image. Which is similar. And though I will say this, in fairness to Miley Cyrus, she has not done anything illegal.
She has not
gotten in trouble. You're not seeing her being arrested. You're seeing her just being sexual, but not particularly bad. Whereas Justin Bieber's just being an idiot, and he's probably going to get himself hurt. Or he's going to be one of those people that just goes down that slippery slope to disasterhood like Lindsay Lohan and whatever.
Well, it seems Bieber's dad is ferociously defending his son. Now, father's supposed to do that, but kind of defending his actions, which is also kind of interesting, I think.
It is interesting. I'm not quite sure that that's something that should be defended. But anyway, I also thought it was interesting. There was that whole story this week. Well, I may have even been started last week, but, you know, I wasn't here last week, so I have like 2 weeks worth of stuff to talk about. What's the football player's name that it kind of is being? Oh, it's Richard Sherman.
Richard Sherman.
Yeah, that did the whole rant about after he got the was it a touchdown or something happened?
Well, his rant came after the game, but he was jarring with Michael Crabtree, and they were going back and forth and taunting. And then
Aaron Andrews was interviewing him, and he just kind of went off.
Yes, yes.
And so that was sort of news in and of itself. Everybody was like sort of, it was, you know, showing all these different people ranting and whatever. But then, you know, I saw an article actually comparing the Richard Sherman story to the Justin Bieber story and people's reaction to it, which was kind of interesting just because people were sort of giving Richard Sherman a really hard time, calling him an uneducated thug and all this crazy stuff, when actually he's a really smart guy. He went to Stanford. He just happens to be black and wear his hair in cornrows. I don't know why that gave people the impression that he was uneducated. But then people were also in the same breath kind of cutting Justin Bieber a break and saying, oh, he's just a kid acting out, whatever. But he's actually the one that's sort of relatively uneducated and kind of a ding dong doing. And, you know, Richard Sherman just went off at the mouth. He didn't have a DUI and, you know, he's sort of being criminalized in the press more than Justin Bieber, which is interesting.
Yeah. And I've heard him speak. He's very well educated.
Yeah.
And it seemed to me like that was kind of a heat of the moment type thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
He just won the game. He's on his way to the Super Bowl. And they were jarring back and forth, him and Michael Crabtree, and he was just all amped.
Yeah. It's just interesting the way people perceive certain things and, you know, the way media sort of spins things out of control. And and all of that. All right, with a very, very bad segue now, speaking of media, I have a quick headline about the Weather Channel. Well, two headlines, actually, that caught my eye this week that I thought were interesting. I don't know if you noticed this, but if you have DirecTV, you may have noticed that you no longer have the Weather Channel. DirecTV has dropped the Weather Channel, which is pretty interesting. And apparently, not ever happened before. You know, they've always managed to work out contracts and whatever and not get dropped, but I guess it was a money issue. They couldn't work it out. And so DirecTV said, yeah, never mind. Now, shortly after that, that was a story actually from last week while I was away. And then shortly after that, I saw another headline saying that the AccuWeather channel is going to try to take on the Weather Channel. The AccuWeather's been around forever. I remember being a kid and listening to the AccuWeather news report on my TV station growing up. But inside sources at the Weather Channel, I have a good friend who works there, says AccuWeather will never get their channel off the ground. And they're apparently all loving bashing DirecTV over there at the Weather Channel right now. So anyway, that's just a little interesting local. You know, the Weather Channel's local here in Atlanta, if you're wondering why I brought that up. Their headquarters is right over there by where the new Braves Stadium is going to be in Cobb. So that's why I brought it up, just because it's sort of an Atlanta-based story. All right, another quick story before we do our clip for this segment. There is a, I don't know if you've, how much TV you watch, Mike Roy, but I watch a fair amount. And I hate to admit it, but it's true. And I keep seeing these commercials for a store called Cabela's. And every time I see the commercial, I say to my boyfriend, what is this store? I've never heard of it. I've never seen one. Why are they advertising to me? I don't even think there's one around here. And this has been going on for months. They were advertising to me in my home in Metro Atlanta before Christmas, Cabela's. Well, I finally saw a headline just this week saying that Cabela's first Georgia store will be opening in March. So there, and it's going to be in Augusta. It's still not even going to be here in Atlanta. So I'm just wondering, Mike Roy, and all of you lovely listeners, why were they advertising to me in Atlanta if they don't have any stores here and they won't even have one here until March and it will be in Augusta? Just wondering. Maybe they want me to shop at their online store? I don't know. I just thought that was a really weird choice for ad dollars. Why are you advertising to people that never heard of you and can't shop at you? And I don't know. It just seems very strange to me. Okay, let's move on to our first clip. Always great stuff happening every week on businessradiox.com. This week on the Results Matter show, which is hosted by Lee Cantor and Stone Payton, they had a couple interesting guests. So we have two clips from that show. The first one is a guest named Lloyd Lofton, who is the VP of sales for American Eagle Financial Services. And he's talking about the if customer versus the how customer. And I thought this was fascinating. So take a listen.
Typically what's missing for merchants, you know, if you're an auto repair guy, you got an auto repair business, not because you necessarily want to be a great businessman. It's because you like to fix cars. You typically hire people that manage the business part of it. That also means that you're probably not a professional trainer. And the truth is, if you don't train your salespeople to convert your floor traffic to paying customers, you're probably not going to make any money. And that means you have to understand the type of customers that come in. Almost every small business owner, every retail merchant out there has two kind of customers. They have an if customer and a how customer. An if customer, someone has the cash or credit to make a purchase from you, and they're just deciding if they're going to do business with you. The how customer is someone that wants to make the purchase from you, but they're not sure how they're going to pay for it.
I'm going to use that. I really like the way that you delineated that, the if and the how. I'm going to use that in my sales presentation. Yeah.
Well, as long as you give me credit for it twice, you can own it.
I'm going to say, first couple of times I'm going to say, as my good buddy Lloyd Lofton always says, and then I will have said it several times, and then I'll say, as I always say.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
No, that is a fabulous way to describe it, that dynamic.
So, again, that was the Results Matter show on businessradiox.com, and you can listen to the rest of that interview, resultsmatter.businessradiox.com. What's interesting is, I'm just going to repeat what he said because I thought it was really interesting, the if customer versus the how customer. So the if customer walks into your retail location or is looking at your online store, and they're deciding if they want to do business with you, if your prices are right, if your products are good, all of those kinds of things. The how customer comes in and they're like, you know what? I really want this, but how can I do it? How can I afford it? How can I buy it? You know, let's say you're looking at maybe a car that's out of your, you know, out of what you're really your budget should be. Like, I want this Mercedes, but how can I make this work? Now, it's interesting. The interview kind of goes on to talk about what Lloyd's company offers as different kinds of financing that companies can offer to their customers. the whole thing seems very interesting to me because he's sort of talking about there are people who can pay cash, right? There are people who have good credit and enough room on their credit cards or whatever that or can get a loan so they can buy your product. And then there are those people that have neither of those things. They don't have cash and they don't have good credit, but they still want your product and you still want to get it sold to them somehow because you want the sale. It seems very scary to me because you're now maybe extending credit or payment options to somebody who really may not be able to make those payments. So it's a very interesting sort of world that's out there of kind of giving money to people who really may not be able to afford to pay it back. Though he gave an example about paying for legal fees. You know, if you go to a lawyer and they say, I want a $2,500 retainer, and you really don't have $2,500 in cash, but you could pay out $250 a month over 10 months. And I think those are the people that his business is sort of going after. But it's very interesting to think about it as a retailer if you want to offer these additional financing methods to people who maybe really don't have the money.
Well, you could potentially get more business that way.
Absolutely the point of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely the point. If somebody walks into your store or onto your website or whatever the case may be, you want to convert them into a sale.
Yeah, they may not like it, but it's going to pay off in the long run because you're going to get more people more inclined. Yeah, right.
Hopefully.
That's the idea anyway.
It depends on how much risk you're taking on with that sale.
Well, yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, another great clip from Results Matter, some more about the legalizing of pot in our country and all kinds of great stuff. We'll be back. All right, we are back. It is the Business Radio X Weekend Review. I'm Dana Barrett. You can call us here in the studio, 404-231-1190. And I think I forgot to mention that you can also tweet us with the hashtag BizRadio, B-I-Z Radio, or you can tweet me directly at Dana H. Barrett. Okay, before we get into, I really want to get into this whole discussion about pot in this country. It's been a huge topic this week with Obama saying some stuff. Ann Coulter had some things to say. Everybody has something to say about pot. Right now, for some reason, it's the hot topic. And maybe because it's like freezing cold outside and everybody wants to like just go in and light up a doobie. I don't know. That's not what I'm doing, just in case you're wondering. But I'm just saying, maybe that's like, this is a good time of year to like just cuddle up and get stoned. Just saying. Before we get to that, I do have some interesting kind of Atlanta-based headlines that I want to share with you because, you know, that's what we like to do on Week in Review, catch you up on things you might have missed. So, when you're spending $100 bills here in town, please be careful. Apparently, some counterfeit $100 bills have been spotted in Metro Atlanta. The U.S. Secret Service's field office here issued a warning about these counterfeit bills. And the way you can tell, apparently, is they have, oddly, a small 77 on the backside of the bill on the bottom right corner, just above the 100. If you have concerns about this, I would say Google it. And the Secret Service says if you are concerned that you have one or you think you might have information about where they're coming from, they give a phone number, 404-331-6111. So anyway, I don't usually like to have big bills. I mean, they're a pain. I always feel like people are going to look at me like they are counterfeit or there's a problem or whatever. I always ask for 20s at the bank.
Well, plus, God forbid you lose your wallet or something. You have big bills in along with other things.
Right, but, or you drop like
or you drop it.
If you
yeah,
drop
exactly.
a five, okay, whatever. If you drop 100, not so much. And speaking of just losing money randomly, of course, everyone knows about the Target, you know, data security breach that occurred. Well, I don't know if you caught this, but Neiman Marcus also had a breach that they are saying could affect 1.1 million shoppers. So whether you're a gourmet, deluxe, fancy doodle shopper over at Neiman Marcus or an everyday Target shopper, you could be having identity theft and all kinds of problems. Go America. Gotta love it. Okay. Also, in terms of Atlanta-based companies, Coca-Cola, whenever they're in the news, I like to mention it. I saw this before I went out of town, but didn't have. I was in London last weekend, in case anybody's wondering why we were not live. It was cold and rainy there, but not too bad. Though I have to say, also, London, extremely expensive city. Outrageous. You know, we talk so much about Bitcoin and those currencies that are out there. Well, the British pound is about $1.64 per British pound. So you look at something and you think, oh, that's 16 pounds. That's not so bad. But really, it's almost double that.
Well, it's weird because when you go to a foreign country, for the most part, the dollar's worth more than a lot of other countries. But that's probably never been the case with the pound. It's always, as far as I know, the pound has always costed more than the dollar.
It's crazy how much money, like just to go into a museum is like 20 pounds or 21 pounds or something like that. Yeah, it's like close to $40, you know, it's $35 or something to set foot in a tourist attraction. So very expensive, but we did have a good time. Anyway, before I left, I saw this headline, Coca-Cola getting its own version of a wine glass. Very odd. You know those fancy Riedel, like crystal glasses you see? You see them everywhere. You can buy them at Bed Bath & Beyond or whatever, and they're special. They sort of are known for creating special shaped glasses out of really high quality crystal so that the wine tastes better, right? So Coca-Cola asked them to make one that's specially for Coca-Cola to make it taste better. Not sure. Anyway, it's coming out. More of a commemorative thing, maybe. I'm not quite sure what the point of it is, but would you buy one? I don't think I would, but somebody will, I'm sure. And on that note, I also saw a headline relating to Coke where they're giving one of their departing executives $2 million plus send-off. Stephen, I don't know how to pronounce this guy's last name. Cahalane? I don't know. There's a lot of extra syllables in there. Anyway, he was a big executive with Coke.
Stephen C. Oh, yeah. I can't even get that right.
Sorry. He's getting 2 years of his base salary, which was $786,000. Should I say that again? $786,000 was his annual salary, his base salary, not even the total. Ding, ding, ding. 2 years of that he's getting, plus an additional payment of $500,000 to be paid in a lump sum shortly after he leaves. I always like stories like this because they just show how the rest of us, how unfair it is to be the rest of us, let's say. You know, if you leave a company on good terms, you know, if they decide to let you go, but they like you, whatever, they're not firing you, they give you maybe 2 months salary, maybe 2 weeks, maybe 6 months. But you didn't make $786,000 to begin with, and they certainly don't give you 2 years of salary plus $500,000. I mean, it's just, you know, I'm not going to like be a baby and whine and cry that it's unfair, but yeah, it's kind of unfair. Just saying. All right. I'm going to stop with the whining now. I have another interesting clip for you. I have absolutely no segue into this clip, so I'm just going to tell you what it's about. Again, we always have tons of great programming over on Business Radio X, all kinds of different shows relating to different kinds of business. The Results Matter show is sponsored by Burr & Foreman and hosted by Lee Cantor and Stone Payton. And this week, in addition to Lloyd Lofton, who we just heard talk about the if customer and the how customer, they also had Charles White, who is with he's a chartered financial consultant. And he explains a type of company that I never knew existed. It's called a PEO, a professional employer organization. So take a listen to this.
Now, it sounds like you become like the company's HR department.
You basically are their HR department. That's really, in reality, what a PEO is, a professional employer organization. And I didn't want to get into the negatives or what some of the people think, but when you talk to a financial planner, CPAs, on and on and on, and you ask them what do they know about PEOs, it's amazing what they can come up with. And when you look at the history of any organization, group, or whatever, that they've got some background. A PEO, you wind up being a co-employer. Okay, let that sink in for a second. A co-employer. Huh. So let's say you're a radio station here. You've got 20 employees. Okay, you have 20 employees. Now you hire us as your PEO. You have still 20 employees, but we co-own those employees so that we can get you the best rates on the workers' comp so we can do your HR work and we can do those kind of things. Okay.
So if I go out there just in the market by myself, I'm not going to get, first of all, I don't know what I'm doing. But even if I knew what I was doing, I'm not going to have these economies of scale, these benefits of pooling and all that kind of thing, much less the payroll and all that stuff, right?
Correct.
Okay, so again, that was from the Results Matter show, and that was Charles White talking about and explaining what a professional employer organization is, a PEO. I thought it was really interesting just because I have been a small business owner a couple times over. I'm one of those sort of serial entrepreneur types. And I also have worked for small companies, and it's still something I've never heard of. And I always like to kind of share things like that because there are a lot of entrepreneurs in this city. Atlanta is a startup town. And you get sometimes so mired in your product or service and what you're doing. And it was interesting because it ties into what I think Lloyd Lofton was saying in the earlier clip. You don't necessarily go into the auto mechanic business because you know how to run a business. You go into it because you like to fix cars. And so you don't know about all of these different kinds of services and products that are out there that can help you run your business better. It's very interesting. You know, so basically a PEO, if you use that service, they sort of help you get better rates on things, and they help you deal with a lot of the HR things that you probably don't know how to deal with on your own, or you may not know how to deal with on your own. Now, I don't know if it's the right option for everybody or what businesses it's best for, but interesting to explore, especially if you're a small company that's starting to grow, I think. You know, when you're like a five-person company or three-person company or, you know, six-person company, probably don't need something like that. But as you start to grow, which is everybody's hope, I think, as they go into business, just something interesting to look into. Put it in your back pocket. Have it. Think about it if you need it. PEO. If not, you know, just Google the show and you can listen to it again. Or you can go listen to the entire interview, of course, over on businessradiox.com. All right. Enough about that. So I want to talk about pot. I want to talk about that, like, maybe for the rest of the show, because I've been reading up on all this stuff that's going on. You have to have been kind of living under a rock if you haven't been aware of what's been going on. Not necessarily this week, because sometimes we all miss a week of news or headlines or whatever. But, you know, recreational marijuana has become legal in Colorado. And, you know, medical marijuana is legal in certain states already. And the state of Washington also is going and that has some similar laws now and whatever. So this is happening. And what and the reason it became a big topic this week is because what was happening with these businesses is because they were not it's not federally legal to sell pot. They were not able to open bank accounts. So all of their business was in cash, which was a big security problem. Right. So they were dealing with large sums of cash and they were having to hire extra security and build extra security into their buildings and have these crazy security systems just to handle all this cash because they couldn't put it in the bank. So that's now changing. The Fed has now said, OK, we recognize that these states are allowing these legal businesses and we will let them have bank accounts, which I think is the right thing to do. But it does. But perhaps this ruling by the Fed is the gateway drug, if you will, into marijuana being legal all across the country. And maybe that's what we need and maybe it's not. And I want to talk about it and we're going to do that. But first, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back more on the pot stuff, I want to hear your opinions. 404-231-1190. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett. Mike Roy is heavy on the sound effects today. I like it, though. It's fun. I like sound effects. And I love our jazzy music. I think we do that like every time we come back from this commercial break, the third segment.
You haven't objected to it yet.
I know, because I love it. It's so delightful. So the number here, 404-231-1190. We're talking about, among other things, the legalization of pot in this country. Is it the right thing to do? Is it the wrong thing to do? What is the impact going to be from a business standpoint, financial standpoint? You know, do you have a position on it because you're a Republican or a Democrat? It's a complicated issue. And it's very interesting. And I started reading up on it because I think my instinct is to sort of, let's be clear. I'm going to be completely honest here because, you know, we're all friends here. I have smoked pot. When I was in college, I smoked pot. It's been a long time since I've smoked pot, and I really have zero interest in picking that habit up again. And it was not addictive for me. I smoked it, but I, whatever, didn't I? But, you know, alcohol is not particularly addictive for me either, though I do like my wine. But as somebody who is, I sort of describe myself generally as being somewhere in the middle, politically speaking, and I sort of agree in a lot of times with some of the libertarian views, which is to get the government out of my private life. So from my perspective, I think, and I'm open to discussion here, so this is not a hard and fast, but I think that for me, it feels like if my neighbor wants to have pot and smoke it, that's fine. I'm not going to, I have a child also who is in college and, you know, when she was younger, when she was in high school or middle school or whatever, I would not have been okay with her smoking pot and I would not have encouraged it. On the other hand, I had done it and I knew what it was like. So, you know, I think my point there is that what you choose to do personally isn't necessarily determined by what the laws are, right? Just because you can smoke cigarettes doesn't mean you choose to smoke them, right? Just because it's legal. Just because you can drink alcohol doesn't mean you choose to do it. Just because you can jump out of a plane doesn't mean you choose to do it. Just because something's legal doesn't mean people are automatically going to line up to do it. It's not for everybody. So one of the arguments about, we've heard this one a lot, and Mike sort of scoffed because I joked about it a little bit coming into the break, about pot being the gateway drug. So one of the big arguments against legalizing pot is that it's the gateway drug. If you smoke pot, you're going to do other drugs, that you're automatically going to start doing coke and heroin and crack and whatever else the other things are. And I don't particularly buy that. I think the reason those statistics come up is because there are a lot of people who are doing the rougher drugs who have smoked pot and who maybe smoked pot first, but they were going to do those other drugs. The fact that they smoked pot is not why they went to the other drugs. You know, I think that sometimes it's the easiest one to get. And so maybe that's why it's considered a gateway drug. You know, you start dealing with a slightly tawdrier person in your drug dealer, right? And maybe it's easier to find somebody who's selling pot than the harder stuff. But also maybe that's why it's, someone said this to me, I've been talking about this all week, I feel like. And someone else said to me, well, maybe it's a gateway drug because once you start dealing with a drug dealer getting pot, then the drug dealer's like, hey, you like this? Why don't you try this? And if you're that type of person that could be easily addicted, you know, there you go.
But then it's potentially a gateway drug. Potentially. It's not even set in stone if you're going to go with that argument.
Right. And also, I think if you legalize it, you take that part of the gateway equation out, right? Because now if it's something you're buying in a state store or you're buying in a drug store or wherever with ID to prove that you're old enough, et cetera, it's not sitting on the shelf next to the crack. So it's not a gateway to the crack anymore, right? It's a gateway to like some tissues or some, you know, or a bottle of wine, right?
Well, what I've always said in response to the gateway drug is that if you're going to make the argument that marijuana is a gateway drug, then you kind of have to make the argument that cigarettes can lead to marijuana.
Which can lead to, right.
Which would then in turn lead to other stuff too, which is why I never bought the gateway drug.
And I don't think statistics show that at all.
Right, exactly.
So it's a very interesting conversation. And, you know, it's very interesting also on a really random note that I have a clip this week from Business Radio X from our Gwinnett studio that is about drug abuse. So it doesn't really have anything to do with the legalization of pot. And I'm going to do this clip and we'll talk about it a little bit, but I also want to talk about some of the headlines, you know, with Obama's opinions on marijuana and what Ann Coulter had to say and all of that. But let me tell you about this clip. The Gwinnett Studio has a show called Testing the Experts. It airs every Friday at 1 p.m. From our Gwinnett Studio. You can go to businessradiox.com and find out more about the show. It's hosted by Tracy McDaniel and Wes Warrington they're both from Confirmatrix Laboratory. Anyway, this week they had two really interesting guys on the show, Steve Herndon and Taylor Hagen, who are with Safety Net Recovery, which is a recovery residence for men overcoming addictions and substance abuse. I'd love to have these guys on to talk about what they think about the legalization of marijuana. It'd be really interesting. Anyway, they have a facility in Smyrna. They started it 4 years ago. And what's interesting is that Stephen Herndon, who is one of the two guys interviewed, is a former UGA and NFL football player. And his partner, Taylor Hagen, partner in the business, not to be confusing, is a former U.S. Marine. And they were both addicts. They both were recovering addicts themselves. And that's how they met and decided to go into this business and help other men. So take a listen to this clip.
And what's so really cool about the process of maintaining Safety Net is when we talk to our guys, we've lived it. You know, mm-hmm. We've breathed it. And so I'll kind of jump into that a little bit. So he was in treatment, and then he was on fire. And I'm kind of like still, you know, working through the process. Is this for me? I mean, don't you know me? I played 6 years in the National Football League. I was captain of the University of Georgia football team. You know who I am. I can handle anything. And I was still working through that ambivalence. And here Taylor was, you know, talking to people and doing the crazy song. It was so bad. I can't even begin to tell you how bad it was. So we moved into this recovery residence, and he actually said, hey, man, you need to come live with me. And we got to the recovery residence, and all of a sudden, I was on fire. You know, I had a great sponsor, and boy, I just set a trail ablaze. You know, I was working the steps, you know, going to meetings every day, and we would go to meetings two or three times a day. But all of a sudden, my man Taylor got in a funk. He got in a big funk. And I had been talking to him for a couple weeks. Hey, man, you know, you're in the tank. We need to get you pulled out of the tank. And finally, I had to go to staff and say, hey, this guy's doing something. Something's wrong. And so when we tell our guys, hey, we have really lived the process of a recovery residence, we really have. And so I went to staff and I said, you need to drug test him every day. They started drug testing him every day. And after a while, he gets pissed off. And he comes to me, and it was like all of a sudden he felt like he was like 6'8", ready to take me on. And I'm like, wow, this is a lot of audacity here with this cat. Maybe he is what I thought he was. And he looked at me and he said, man, what the hell's going on? Why can't you come to me? And I said, man, I've been trying to talk to you for 2 weeks and you have absolutely had your ears closed. Mm-hmm. And it really hit him in the mouth. And that's what this process is all about. The recovery residence process, the disease of addiction. It's asking for help and working with others. And there he was in treatment, and he gave me a glimmer of hope in treatment. And then we moved on to the recovery residence together, and he was in the tank. And I said, dude, I don't want you to die. And I did all I could to pull him out of that. And I don't take any credit, but you came out of the funk. And he started to work the program. And we do it on a daily basis. You know, we call each other out. But that's how we stay sober and so that we can be of service to other men. And I can go on and on about that story. He's my best friend. And we can count on each other for everything. So it really gives us credibility when we work with our guys, because we're not asking them to do anything we haven't done. And that's very important.
All right. One of the reasons I wanted to share that clip again, that was from Testing the Experts on businessradiox.com. And one of the reasons I wanted to share that is just because I think it's so fascinating, the kind of programming we have over there. Like, you can be talking on one show about, financial planning and what is a professional employer organization and, you know, this really like businessy stuff. And then here, you know, it's business radio, but here they are talking about this business of a recovery program. So there's lots of interesting stuff on the station. If you're looking for interesting business programming, please check it out. Also, of course, it sort of fell into this whole conversation because one of the things, you know, as we talk about the legalization of pot, first of all, you know, pot is like a funny name for it. Like, people call it weed. People call it pot. Of course, it's really marijuana. I wonder if they legalize it, is it just going to, what's it going to be called?
Probably marijuana, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, like.
Because that's the scientific name for it. Although, I guess it's also cannabis.
Yeah,
it might
right.
be different altogether.
So. I know. It's just, it'll be interesting to see. I think one of the fascinating things, just from a fun standpoint and a bit like looking at it through a business microscope, what's going to happen? You know, I really think we're looking at, we're at the beginning of this. It's going to become legalized, I think. The fact that there are a couple states already doing it, they're seeing a lot of tax income from it. I think it's going to happen. That's my prediction. It's going to happen nationwide eventually, and sooner rather than later. But thinking about it from a business perspective, you know, do you go into a pot store? Is there like, you know, a bit, does Kraft start making pot, you know, RJ Reynolds cigarette company start making pot cigarettes? I don't know. It's just gonna be very interesting to see what it looks like.
Well, I would think they'd start off with specifically marijuana stores, and it might branch off from there, but that's just how I would think.
Well, that
would,
is what's happening now,
right? Well, yeah, I would think it would stay in that state for a while.
Yeah, we'll see. It's
before
gonna be,
expanding
it's
out.
Gonna be interesting, just even like the local organic farmers versus the big corporate. It's just gonna be very interesting to watch. All right, more on that topic, but first we must take a break, so stay with us. We'll be back on Week in Review. All right, we are back. It's the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett, Mike Roy, still here. Still Mike Roy. Yeah, he hasn't changed yet, but he will.
I will. I'll,
by the end of the show,
I'll have a different name.
Be a whole new man. The number here, 404-231-1190. You can tweet us at Dana H. Barrett or hashtag BizRadio. That's B-I-Z Radio. All right, we're talking about pot. I'm not even going to pull out the soapbox this week because I want to keep talking about the wacky weed instead. It's just more fun. So first of all, let's go back a week or so, maybe two, 3 weeks. I'm not sure exactly when Obama made his statements about pot that were sort of pretty controversial. What he said, basically, it was in an interview with the New Yorker. And I think it was either last Sunday or the Sunday before, but he said basically that he doesn't think it's that pot is any more dangerous than alcohol. And then everybody, like, of course, went up in arms and got all freaked out because it's illegal. And yet here he is making this, and he's the president, you know. So then the White House started, like, shifting around saying, well, no. Like, the White House has not changed its position on the legalization of pot. We do not want to have it be federally legal. He's not changed his position on that. But I think what's happening is that overall, with statements like that from the president, the times are changing and public perception is changing. I mean, think about this. Back when Clinton ran the very first time, and he said, I think it was Clinton, right, that said, well, I smoked pot, but I didn't inhale,
Clinton, yes.
Right? And so that was a long time ago now. And that was a big deal because, first of all, at that time, you couldn't get elected. Wasn't it Governor, was it Jerry Brown that was like a big dope smoker? And they were like, you know, he was trying to run. And they were like, yeah, no, dude, you're a pothead. We're not going to have you as our president. No. But now, I mean, Obama has been very open about the fact that he smoked pot when he was in college and not a big deal. And we elected him anyway, right? So public perception is changing. And I think maybe part of that is that as there's a huge population right now in my age range, I guess, 30s, 40s, 50s, who are voting, who have all smoked pot. Let's face it. Most people have smoked pot or at least tried it. You know, I mean, I'm not saying everybody became a major pothead or was a major user or spent money on it or whatever, but most people, I don't know what statistics. Someone's going to tweet at me, like, screaming that I'm completely crazy and wrong. But I feel like most college kids try pot at one time or another. Not everybody goes to college. Lots of high school kids are trying pot. Whether we like it or not, it's here in this country. And I personally think we're better off regulating it. And I spent a lot of time reading about this today because, I feel a little bit about this whole pot topic the way I felt about Bitcoin, which is that I don't really fully understand all of the implications. And so I want to talk about it on the air with all of you because I want us to work it out together, you know? And so I spent a lot of time reading both sides of the argument on why we should or should not legalize pot. And the arguments against it, saying we should keep it illegal, aren't that strong to me. And maybe that's just because of my own perception. The whole idea of it being a gateway drug is one of the big things I've heard. Now, the Ann Coulter stuff was just funny. I don't know if you caught that, but she was on Piers Morgan this week, and she made some kind of, I think she just wasn't prepared to talk about the topic, but she's the kind of person that, like myself, who will just talk about anything because why not, you know? I mean, that I will sort of do that too. I will happily just jump on any subject, and then I'll get 2 minutes into it, and I realize I don't know what I'm saying right now. But she basically said that we should not legalize pot because potheads are, and I'm not going to quote, this is not a direct quote, but something like potheads are incapable of holding down a job and they will be bad for commerce. So you're going to legalize pot. You're automatically going to get a vast, large, huge number of more people smoking it. And they're all going to turn into potheads who cannot hold a job or do anything productive in society. And then we will have to, not only will we have less people being productive in society, but we will have to pay for them, you know, healthcare and whatever other problems they have, welfare, food stamps, whatever it is that they need because they can't hold down a job. Hilarious. Oh, Ann Coulter. I mean, I'm going to openly admit I'm not a huge fan of Ann Coulter to begin with. So this also may be a little biased on my part, but really I know people directly who smoke pot and hold down jobs and are perfectly productive members of society and who still choose to smoke pot. I don't want to do it, but I believe, just like with alcohol, that there are plenty of people who can use that substance and be productive in life. One of the things I thought was really interesting about the research I did was there was some statistics about how many people smoke pot on a monthly basis, yearly basis, daily basis, like have ever tried it, yada, yada, yada. And they made it sound like, the way I was reading this article was like, if you smoke it on a daily basis, you're a pothead. You are. But think about how many people have a drink every night with dinner or come home from work and have a cocktail every night, right? And they're not necessarily alcoholics. I mean, some of those people probably do have a problem, but plenty of them don't. If you're able to have one glass of wine a night with dinner, and
I wouldn't call you an alcoholic.
Not at all. No, I wouldn't either. And so if you're coming home and you're having a toke or two from your joint, Does that make you a pothead? Not necessarily. If that helps you sleep or whatever the case may be, or just relaxes you and that's your drug of choice versus alcohol, I'm not seeing the daily use as an indicator that you're going to become a pothead.
No, not necessarily at all.
Right. So I don't know. It's very interesting. So let's get back to this. So Ann Coulter. So we have Obama saying he thinks it's no worse than alcohol, but yada yada, the White House is not changing its position. We're not legalizing it federally. Okay. We have Ann Coulter saying, you know, potheads can't hold down a job. And by the way, she continued on that track by saying something about the fact that this all stemmed from her experience with one pool guy who she hired to clean her pool who did not do the job. And she's decided he was a pothead and that's why he did not clean her pool. Anyway, then you have the story about the government, Eric Holder, announcing this shift on marijuana policy, which was, he's the attorney general. And what the rules are is that they can now, is that these legal pot businesses, these legal marijuana cannabis businesses, in Colorado and Washington state can have bank accounts. So that's also a shift in federal policy now. So it very much feels to me like we're at the top of, let's use an Olympic reference since we're about to start the Winter Olympics. You know, we're at the top of the ski slope about to go down it. And with each new news story, headline, policy shift, state changing its mind, we're heading towards full legalization of marijuana. That's what I'm seeing. And I started to talk about this before the commercial, but I think what's one of the things I just find interesting is everything right now is speculation. People don't really know how many people are smoking pot and how many more would maybe take it up if it became legal. Because first of all, if you survey, depending on who's doing the survey, you may not be honest, right? Like,
hey, be very biased.
Yeah, you're not going to admit in front of your employer that you're doing something illegal.
That too, yes.
Right? So you have to be really careful. So they're doing all these surveys and whatnot, but really it's unclear how many people are using marijuana on a regular basis. And it is also unclear how many more will use it if it's legal.
Or you can make the argument that less people will use it if it becomes legal because some people are so fascinated with the fact that it's illegal.
Correct.
So that's also speculation.
It's true. You just really don't know. And I will say this. I also read an article in terms of whether or not it's helpful, addictive, you know, all of these things. Well, we know it's not a narcotic. We know it's not addictive like some of the narcotic drugs where they literally have a physical, chemical addiction property that if you take them, your body will crave them, right? So we know it's not that. On the other hand, there are lots of things people become addicted to that are not narcotics, alcohol being one of them, cigarettes, gambling, sex, right? All kinds of things that people become addicted to. So people will still become addicted to marijuana. That's a fact. But people are already, the people that are will. You know what I'm saying? There is going to be a personality type that's addicted to it. But as you pointed out, Mike, I think some of that is because it's illegal. And there's some mystique around that. You know, I'm doing something that I'm told I can't do. So I'm going to do it anyway to prove that I can. You know?
I think prohibition kind of proved that. If it's illegal, you could potentially have a lot more people using it than if it is legal.
Right. And it's interesting to make the comparison to prohibition because there was a huge alcohol trade going on during prohibition that was all illegal. There's also been arguments that even if it becomes legal, if it's taxed and regulated, that there will still be an illegal trade of the better stuff. I don't know about that argument either. It didn't really happen with alcohol. I mean, I don't know how much illegal alcohol trade there is for stronger or better stuff, you know? So I think this is a conversation we could probably have for weeks on end, and we may just, because it's kind of fun to talk about. Also, I love, by the way, before we exit the show, which we're doing here, the can of business. Great term. Love it. Okay. This has been the Business Radio X Week in Review. We will see you next week. I hope you have a great week. Make lots of money.